Hello and welcome to The Shape of Work, a podcast series by SpringWorks. My name is Anoop and I am your host. Each week, we'll be talking to top people managers across the world on the future of work and how it's shaping our workplace. So sit back and get ready to find out more from these movers and shakers as we have a no-holds-barred, anything-goes conversation with them about their journey, their insights, their thoughts, and most importantly, their ideas and vision for the workplace of the future. Join in on the conversation, leave a comment, and don't forget to hit that subscribe button. On today's episode, SpringWorks Head of Marketing Abhash Kumar talks to Nidhi Sharma, Director of Human Resources at Affinity Global. As someone who's been in the industry for over a decade, Nidhi has overseen multiple aspects of the HR function, including business partnering, talent acquisition, talent management, employee engagement, and development. Prior to Affinity, Nidhi has worked with major brands like PricewaterhouseCoopers, Bennett Coleman, and TCS. She talks to us today about the nuances of becoming an effective manager in a virtual work environment, while also touching upon proven methods to improve employee experiences in the virtual environment. Let's hear more from her.
Welcome to the Shape of Work podcast, Nidhi. How are you doing today?
I'm doing very good. How are you?
All well at my end. So I'm sure, you know, listeners would want to learn a little bit more about your journey. You have spent, you know, 13 years in the HR ecosystem as an HR, have, you know, done different sort of roles within that. So tell us a little bit more about your journey.
Sure, absolutely. So I had done my graduation in BMS, that is Bachelor in Management Studies. Mm-hmm. And luckily or unluckily, we only had two specializations, finance and marketing. Okay. There was no HR as a specialization. So I joined a small organization to prepare for my MBA and, you know, to save some money, basically. And during that particular stint, I connected with the CEO and I worked with him to understand how he plans to recognize good work. Mm-hmm. Because I thought I'm doing an amazing job and I wanted to know how does he, you know, judge people, who's doing good, who's doing bad. And we got into a conversation and it drove me towards understanding people and understanding what motivates people and, you know, basically turning me towards an HR angle. And I was very happy that that was the period when I realized what I want to do in life. And I discussed more with him about for his firm. He got me engaged. The CEO got me engaged to actually design an appraisal system for the organization.
Oh, obviously. And during this, you were no way related to the HR function.
No, not at all. Okay. So that gave me a very good chance to connect with HR professionals, understand what they're doing, why they're doing, how it works. And then, of course, I drafted something which was, if now I had to judge it, it was very, very bad work, but it was a start. So I got into some detailing of what an appraisal system is, what KRAs are, how it is to be measured, how to keep bias out of it, and a lot of things. And I realized that there's a huge scope to, you know, probably understand the impact HR has on business. Literally everything that we do can change the design or the direction of where the business is going.
Yeah.
That got me very interested. And that's how I decided I want to do HR. And I did my MBA in HR. And I took off. I got campus placed in TCS, which was one of like the biggest brands there is in India. And I was very lucky to have started my journey with Tata's because, you know, they ingrain within you a lot of values and ethics.
Yes.
And I understand now throughout my experience that when you link values of a company to an employee's work, you suddenly make them more committed.
Correct.
So it's simply something like, you know, when you are in a group of friends and the group of friends decide that we are all going to be very music oriented. So even if you did not have music as an interest, you develop it, you work towards it because you want the feeling of belongingness.
Correct.
The same thing happens with an organization.
Yeah.
So I loved, I was very lucky to do a lot of different roles with TCS, learned a lot, worked very closely for one short project with Dr. Ritu Anand also. Very lucky to get that exposure, you know, even conversing with her for a short period of time really gives you a lot of insights. Mm-hmm. So that was amazing. With TCS alone, I probably did HR analytics as a role. I did some bit of recruitment. I did HR business partnering, talent management, employee engagement. So it's an amazing firm. You know, it gives you a lot of exposure into multiple areas. I also got an on-site opportunity. I went on to work in Colombia for a short period of time. And then I realized that I'm probably becoming too comfortable in my zone. So I should look for more challenging work. And I thought, let's push ourselves into something which is completely unrelated or something that I have never done. And that was to work with manufacturing. So I was in an IT firm and I wanted to get an exposure of a manufacturing unit. Very different, very different environment, very different sort of people, very different challenges. Yeah. And I just wanted to try it out because I always thought that if I want to be a complete HR person, I need to know about every different kind of individual. I cannot just know of one particular industry and then say that I know everything about HR. I thought that would be injustice to the term HR.
Correct.
So I got some manufacturing experience. I joined a media manufacturing unit as well, that is Times of India. I worked with the printing press over there. I worked very closely with blue-collar employees, understood a lot about them. And really, it was a very, very good, very enriching experience. Then I got an amazing opportunity to get involved with consulting as an industry. Then I worked very closely with consultants, you know, business managers who are advising people on how to run their other businesses. So again, a very different sort of, challenges, very different sort of people, very different sort of mindsets. That also was wonderful, extremely wonderful. Then I thought that maybe I'm getting too much of all MNC experience and no startup experience. I really need to get into probably a smaller organization so that I learn more about how, the challenges which happen at the start of an organization's journey, not just of a person's. And so I joined a smaller firm called Acilia. Now, this was into airline domain, so airline software management. Again, extremely different. Airline software is like a very niche area.
Yeah, yeah.
I enjoyed working with them too. And then I joined an advertisement technology firm. So I have tried to get experience in different kind of industries for different roles with the simple purpose of actually having a holistic view of everything that HR can do, everything HR is, and the difference that we bring about in terms of how a business works or how employees behave is, you know, a lot of talk goes around, you know, different age groups of employee behave in different manners and everything. Correct. So I wanted to actually get that experience by doing this experiment on myself that, is it true? Okay. I mean, it's said so, but is it even actually true? So, you know, trying to build my experience around that.
Is it true?
I don't think so.
No, not at all.
No, I think an individual's motivations might change slightly throughout their age in an organization. But if you have policies or processes around a person's work, irrespective of their age, they feel more welcome, they feel more involved, they feel more better about it. But if you start differentiating that, you know, a lot of freshers are always in the junior roles, a lot of experienced people are in the senior roles. If you keep that as a divide, it is very evident for them and they start disliking each other. And that is where we start calling people, this is Gen Z, this is Gen Y, this is Gen Y.
Correct.
If you don't have that, like I could give you an example, like in consulting, a lot of people, even in the senior positions, might be very less experienced, but because they had potential and they proved they are able to do it, they come on to a middle level or a senior level position. In fact, I could say probably, I saw someone who's just 33, 34 year old, becoming a partner in the organization.
Mm.
That creates a lot of inclusivity. A lot of people who are from all different age groups start connecting to each other. They feel that if this person also can be a leader and I'm just a fresher, I can reach there. Because I see one example, I know I also can do it. And others who are experienced, they also feel like, yeah, maybe I need to just buck up and, you know, I need to probably prove myself more. And, you know, it also drives them towards positive performance.
Correct.
So I think that's important. Yeah.
Yeah. So do you think these younger people managers, so in many cases, I don't know about the consulting domain as much, but definitely in, you know, startups or in smaller firms, there is no management training as such, right? So you just graduate to becoming a manager once you start hiring people, and then you're just assumed that, you know how to manage people. Do you think that is a struggle for people in other industries as well?
It's a struggle all over. It's a struggle with everyone. And it's not just with the young people becoming managers to feel. It's a struggle with experienced people also.
Mm-hmm.
Because the people you're managing keeps changing.
Correct.
So I'll give an example of, say, a manufacturing unit. So there was one particular manager who was used to managing a lot of men.
Uh-huh.
And suddenly with the changing organization structure, a lot of females getting into the working domain, females getting interested into working in manufacturing units.
Correct.
He suddenly had to start managing these women. Now, he was never trained for it. So he also had his own challenges. He didn't know what is right, what is acceptable, what is not acceptable, what can be avoided. So it's not just with younger managers. Younger managers have their own challenges, but they're more open to learning because they know that they want to do it. They want to prove themselves to be better or good.
Correct.
The same thing happens with experienced people. They have different kinds of people to manage, keeping on coming in.
Correct.
And with the new generations right now, if you ask me as a manager, I also struggle. A lot of times I have to first understand, okay, what is it that will make this person more engaged? Because it's not that their motivations are changing. It's just that a lot of things about different people is that you need to understand that they come from a different background. For nobody, the background is same.
Correct.
So even though you give a salary which is probably equitable to everyone, benefits equitable to everyone, you want to be fair to everyone and everything, but personalizing the benefit or say the work timing or the training, when you start personalizing it for those people, they become much more committed to you. They're like, this is the company that understands me as a person and not just as a resource. So I am like 100% committed to this place.
Definitely makes sense. Who do you think the onus lies with here? Is it always the people manager whose responsibility is to, you know, learn things on their own? Or should the company, I mean, in certain cases, it's just not possible. Like, for example, for startups, I'm guessing, at least growth stage startups, it's very difficult to, you know, arrange for people to be trained in managing people. But if we keep them aside, do you think the onus lies just with the these people managers, or should the company also be helping them out to learn the ropes?
So there are two perspectives. I don't think the onus lies with people managers. I think the onus lies with people. So any people manager also has a manager.
Correct.
So it's all people who want to get the change around. So if they want that they should be understood, they will have to take that first step to speak to the manager and tell him if there is something wrong. A lot of times I have seen a lot of people who are struggling with, my manager doesn't understand me, he's not listening to me, I'm overloaded with work. And the first thing I ask them is, have you told this to your manager? And the answer is no, he should understand. How will he understand? He doesn't know. you know, it's like everything that's going wrong with the country, the government is responsible. Have you told the government what your problem is? If you haven't told, you cannot make this complaint. Right. You have to first take the step. It is your own career. Mm-hmm. You want to be comfortable with this job. You don't want to go to another organization again and restart the whole journey again.
Exactly.
It's another pain.
Yeah.
And how can you be sure that people manager will understand you?
Yeah.
So instead of doing that, why don't you put in efforts here? Tell your people manager, explain it to him what's your problem. Maybe he wants to try to help you. Yeah, if he doesn't, then you, of course, you know, you have channels to probably raise it to a skip level or to your HR or to anybody, or probably then take a decision, I want to leave. But if you're not taking the first step to explain it, I really don't think anyone can help you.
Definitely. Yeah, yeah, sure. How do you sort of ensure that these lines of communication are open? How do you ensure that, you know, people are comfortable enough to reach out to you? Yeah, so and you know, not like once in a quarter or once in 6 months when, you know, the typical performance appraisal, that those sort of conversations happen. How do you keep these lines open permanently? You know, how do you ensure people are reaching out to you frequently, as in when they are having these challenges, issues?
Okay, so I just want to probably give you some examples from Bollywood.
Sure.
You know, we have seen a lot of movies in which the hero comes saying, my father never understood me, that's why I have anger issues, or something like that.
Yeah.
And then towards the end, he tells his father and the father says, I understand, you should have told me earlier, whatever, whatever. And then they both reconcile and etc. So no one actually helped them make that channel. So I think, you know, it's on a person that, you know, channel or no channel, you should do it. But yes, given that a lot of people are not still comfortable, it is currently also done. It is continuing to be done. It will always be there that HR tells all these people, gives them platforms in different manners where the CEO also is available to talk to probably the junior most intern. It's just making sure that they are available is known to everyone. And we also have to try and tell the, you know, the other side also that you need to make use of this availability of
time. Correct.
You cannot shy away from it.
Correct.
You don't need to be afraid, what if you say something wrong? So, you know, a lot of coaching, a lot of training has to be given, and it is done. It has been done by me also in the past, where I have to tell both the parties that although you say you are available as a senior manager to talk to your juniors, but they don't know this. We will tell them, but we want you also to keep on telling them in every way possible that you can reach out to me anytime.
Correct.
But I have to also train the other end, saying that now you know everyone is available. You have these five different platforms also. We have told you can have a skip level meeting. There is an open door policy. You know, there are these surveys that we do, which are anonymous. There are some four, five other engagement platforms we are giving you. Please utilize it. Please speak up. It is most important that what you think is known to the firm to make that change.
So basically, keep hammering the point. In this case, it might be a good idea. In software, you know, you say don't repeat yourself. But in this case, it's the other way around, I guess, you know.
Absolutely, absolutely. Yeah. No, this is definitely the HR's responsibility to keep repeating these things. So it's important to keep repeating that, you know, these are the policies that we have, because people tend to forget. We have to keep repeating, these are the channels that you can approach us on. We have to keep repeating, your managers are available to talk to you if you have not spoken to them. So there are a lot of surveys we have to keep giving out. Have you spoken to your manager in the last 1 month? And right now, because of, you know, remote working and everything, it's becoming more disconnected.
Correct.
So I don't know why there's always this fear when you have to have a talk with your boss. There's always something like going, what is it going to be now? What is he going to say now? What some new work he's going to give to me now? It is not that. He just maybe wants to ask you how your family is doing, how you are doing.
Yeah.
Speak up. And it's more important to speak up. If you don't like what he's saying, fine. Just hear it out. How is it going to make any other difference to you? So I think making it more friendly as an environment is what we require. Like when these lockdowns started happening, a lot of friends started calling each other on video chat. So you would have, you know, Zoom chats of 40, 50 friends getting together and chatting about what used to happen in school. That is the same thing you do in your organization. It's just that probably, you know, you're not, say, bitching about your ex-teacher or something, but you're just talking something related to work so that it's becoming easier for you. We have started hating meetings. We have started hating connects. We have started hating getting into boardrooms.
Yeah.
So that has been... We've gotten used to it so much that now, you know, every small connection is becoming a little difficult. And that is why the job of HR, that we have to keep hammering it down, saying that you have to speak up, otherwise we will not know. We will keep doing anonymous surveys, which will give us the pulse of the floor. Yeah. But if you want us to personalize a solution for you, please talk. And if you don't want to talk to anyone else, you have your HR. And HR is always unbiased, come what may, because they have to be, because they have to listen from both the ends. It automatically makes them unbiased.
Correct. Yeah.
So if not anyone, talk to your HR, but talking is very important.
Yeah,
it keeps you away from depression also.
Correct. No, that definitely those lines have sort of when you're in an office setting, of course, you know, it's very easy to just tap someone's shoulder and, you know, talk to them. Yeah, you just go out for a tea break or a coffee break or something, and you're talking about all those things. Yeah, so that is of course a challenge. What other sort of things do you think have become a challenge because of this in the new setting of, you know, everyone is talking virtually?
The new normal.
Yeah, I was trying to avoid that. I almost said that word, but how has employee experience changed now? And we were, you know, most companies were were confident that we would come back to work by March or even June, but that looks highly unlikely now, at least in India. Some of the other countries, they are getting back to their offices. But this looks like it will be another 6-8 months or so. So what sort of employee experience, what sort of changes do you see in that aspect?
One biggest change that I've seen is the virtual onboarding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's not having an impact. It's not able to build the connect with the new joiner.
Correct.
As much as we have tried different ways, we've tried talking to the new joinee on a daily basis, compulsory video chat so that the person has a face to connect to. We've made the managers always have a video discussion with their teams, introduce the new joinee to the teams, etc., etc. But still, you know, that connect is not happening because of virtual onboarding. Correct. So I think that's a very big struggle area right now. Every HR is, every firm is trying to see what would be the best way to change it, maybe make it more impactful for the new joinee. But yeah, there's much more to do. The human connect is not happening, and because of which the engagement factor, which probably could have been a 90 plus, is falling short. It's almost just 60-65.
Correct. There are these very subtle nuances that you also pick up from just seeing people in different settings, right? How's this person on his desk? When do they respond during meetings? Do they, you know, put their hands up several times, or are they the sort of people who just step back? Those sort of things are, you know, I believe something that especially the new joinees and the freshers as well. Those are the two sets of people who are facing this challenge a lot. because I feel like, you know, the freshers, because they used to pick up all these cues from just being around senior folks.
Right. So they are now obviously finding it a little difficult to adjust to the, to first understand the culture, to make themselves fit into the culture.
Correct.
So it's definitely, you know, a little difficult. But in my experience, or if I could say in my experiment, I have seen that if a person is given a chance to talk. So it's like if I have a manager on one end of the video and a new joinee on the other end of the video, and the manager just tells the new joinee, you just talk. Tell me anything and everything you want me to know about you, your work style, other things. And when the person is sharing everything, at least the manager now knows him as a person. And then we give chance to the manager to share everything about him. How he expects his team to behave, how he expects work to be done, what are the things that are required. And, you know, what he has as a personal expectation from this new journey. Without any other disturbance happening, and they actually talking, not related to something like, this is going to be a weekly task, this is, these are the report styles. So that is not what is required. In this session, what is required, you actually have a deep, meaningful discussion to connect, to build a relationship. It's like a first date, if I could say. You need to get to know the person so that tomorrow when you're assigning work, you are aware this guy has done these 5 things, so I know he can do this. And you're able to assign it also with confidence so that you don't have to micromanage him.
Correct.
And a lot of micromanagement, which has started because managers were not used to remote working, that is putting a lot of new joinees also at unease.
Correct.
Like for freshers, they probably never knew so much micromanagement happens. So they are more nervous. But it is a two-way process. Everyone is learning. And I think everyone is doing a fantastic job. I have seen people who were struggling 6 months back. Now they're very comfortable doing everything.
Yeah.
So, Definitely.
I think that's where also the one is, of course, you know, even without this context, are the managers trained enough? Now, with this new context, you're talking about not just training, but, you know, training for a new paradigm altogether. And yeah, that's been a big challenge, which brings me to the point of, you know, because you are also currently, I think, doing your PhD, right? Where do you think, the HR academia is sort of in sync with what is happening? If not, what are the sort of challenges there? What can help bridge this gap? Your thoughts on that?
So what I think is covered in HR studies right now by colleges, universities, anywhere, is a lot of old theories. I mean, those theories were made decades ago for a different style of people, for a different style of industry, for a different environment. And we just copied it, and, you know, we are continuing with those theories. And a lot of processes which were designed then, and because it worked well then, we are just, you know, blindly taking them ahead. A lot of things that in academia, what I think is that we need to explain, or we need to teach the students of the application of that theory instead of the theory alone. So, you know, the universities or colleges which are teaching HR or HR related courses currently are covering a lot of age-old theories. What we need to actually, you know, give to the learners is the application of these theories, the real life case studies, the real examples which are actually faced by HR in the industries currently.
And specifically, you are looking at the domain of performance appraisals, these feedback loops, right? Can you tell listeners more about what you are specifically working on as part of this
PhD?
So my study actually is planning to be revolved around feedback mechanism. So what has been covered in performance appraisals till now, the way the feedback is to be captured, is one, it is either annual or half yearly, which means you're going to give feedback to someone about their work after 6 months of their work.
Yeah.
But after 6 months, there is a lot of things that a manager or even the person who's doing the work forgets.
Yeah.
In 1 year, he definitely forgets.
Definitely.
So there are a lot of mechanisms people have tried. You know, we will document this, we will document that, we will do, you know, every 3 months, we will start documenting how the work has progressed, et cetera, et cetera. But how is the documentation still helping? Because ultimately, as much as we try to make this performance appraisals objective, they are not objective, they're subjective.
Correct.
We do a lot of, you know, unconscious bias trainings with all managers, but it is, it's human, it's there. It's till we are going to be humans, it will still stick. It will not go away.
Correct.
And that is one reason for which I think the feedback, the way a feedback is given has to be completely changed.
Mm-hmm.
Millennials now want feedback in terms of instant likes or hearts.
Yeah.
So if that is what motivates them, then let's adopt that. And when we are adopting it, and I am saying, okay, you know, Abhas, awesome, great work, well done. I don't want to document it for his appraisal. I remember I gave him a good kudos. That's why he got it.
Yeah.
Documenting it is not going to change what I'm going to give him as an increment.
Yeah.
That would be impacted by how the firm has performed, how the business is doing, how much of a kitty to give the bonuses do I have. So if it is as it is going to depend on those things, let's be very transparent and say that the company made XYZ amount. So I am going to give to shareholders XYZ. And the remaining part, which is whatever calculation, is what is coming to the employees in terms of equitable percentage.
Correct.
Everyone is getting an equitable percentage. Or if you want to decide on bonus, then decide on bonus basis team performance. Everyone is working in teams. No one is working in silos. If the team did good, reward the entire team with whatever amount that can be calculated. It is not an individual's achievement because of which you should give him a bonus.
Mm.
According to me, it makes no sense. I think a team's performance is what should be given a bonus. I think the company's performance is what should give an increment. An individual's performance, he gets rewards. You recognize him, it makes him much more motivated to do more better performance.
Mm.
And those rewards can be monetary, non-monetary, you know, what people generally look for is recognition more than the reward. They want what they did should be known by everyone.
Yeah.
You give me a bonus quietly, you did a good job, take this you know, extra 20% bonus, but no one knows about it. My happiness is not that much. I just tell to people and then I'm bragging, oh, I got good bonus, blah, blah, blah. But I myself would have loved it 100 times more when everyone else knows, wow, he got a good, great bonus. Because, you know, whatever he did, as a recognition, I've given him some XYZ thing, like probably a foreign trip or a dinner for two or a movie ticket or something like that. And when you advertise it, people are like, wow, he got this, even I want this. So I'll also work that. Reward and recognition makes reward and recognition makes much more sense than performance appraisal, according to me.
100%. Just as an aside, you know, we have been doing this at SpringWorks ourselves, and you know, I was telling you even before this conversation that we have built an app for this. I don't want to plug the app here, but you know, it has just transformed the way you know, recognition is looked at. You know, everyone is sort of, even for smaller things. So we have different, you know, kudos is for more, you know, instantaneous, smaller stuff. Shout out is for, you know, someone who's been consistently doing well over a period of time, and you want to recognize that. But
amazing.
All I can say is, you know, it has transformed the way people are, you know, working in teams, collaborating,
Absolutely.
And you know, we have this random channel on our Slack. Slack is the communication app we use. And every day there are like, you know, 15, 16 of these messages. And it's just, I'm guessing it motivates everyone to, you know.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. I think I have seen it with a lot of firms when they are doing instant recognition of anyone's work.
Yeah.
That person feels on the top of the world. They feel so good, they want to keep repeating that good performance. And it pushes others to say that even I want this kind of recognition. Yeah. I also want to feel as proud as he's feeling right now.
Correct.
It's just like, you know, our Indian cricket team. You get a man of the match for every match. And when you do that for every match, it makes them perform much better. I think it's an amazing thing. And definitely having a tool, having an app for it makes it much more relevant for today's time.
Okay.
I giving a plaque for good work is now no more relevant to the way we work.
Exactly.
It has to be on an app. It has to be digitized. It has to have something which is easy to use. Mm. So if your firm has designed something like that, I hope it is like adopted by many, because it's like, you know, the best thing that can happen to HR like us who want such tools to be ready and, you know, available for us.
Okay. What sort of these other methods do you think for the new digital world? And, you know, like you said, everyone is looking for likes and, you know, validation of some sort. What other experiments or other these sort of smaller things have you maybe, you know, implemented in your past roles, or you have seen, you know, other companies doing this that you would love to replicate, love to tell other companies, other people managers, other HRs to replicate within their organization?
So I have heard about a company which has started very recently about having animal of the week kind of or recognition policy.
Mm-hmm.
So animal of the week would mean something like, you know, like a fierce tiger because someone achieved, you know, very great sales numbers, sales Got revenue it. For the week. So Got he's like the fierce tiger of the week.
Okay.
Or someone who's like, you know, got us a very big account in terms of a client. So it's like the biggest elephant of the week or something like that. And people feel amazing about these things.
Yeah.
And they want to advertise it. They want to put it on their Facebook, on their Instagram, saying, you know, I'm the fiercest tiger of my firm. They love it. Yeah. So coming up with such innovative things is, I think, what is required right now. And somehow people feel this works only for the millennials, but that is not true. I have seen, you know, the more experienced people, the more people who are probably have spent like 20 or 25 years in the organization also love these things.
Mm-hmm.
Because it is more instant. Mm-hmm. And why not? That's the biggest thing to love.
Sure.
Recognizing them for something that they did, and they are able to showcase it to the society in general, who knows or does not even know them, but they feel amazingly proud about advertising it, that I did such a good job and I got recognized for it. So that's really nice. One more thing that probably I wanted to talk to you about, you asked me what are the small things that companies are doing which are making a lot of impact on people.
Sure.
Gamification of training programs.
Oh, interesting.
I think it's a beautiful, beautiful strategy. It's a beautiful way to design training programs. It has so much more involvement, so much more retention value of the knowledge given, and so much more interest with which the person actually does a training program, which was never seen earlier.
Interesting. Yeah.
So I think that's a good idea.
On that point, we just, you know, now that you brought it up, I didn't think of it from a gamification perspective. But what we did yesterday, we have this another app that works inside Slack MMS Teams, more so focused on, you know, team bonding. It allows you to play games, word puzzles, that sort of stuff inside Slack or inside MS Teams. You don't have to move out. And there is a functionality of a custom quiz as well. So what some of the, we have, you know, a couple of HR interns working with us, and what they did was
they took out some of the policies, things like, you know, what is our annual learning budget? And they made a custom quiz out of this, like 10 questions out of the policy. You know, if something doesn't get solved in 3 days, who is the person that you need to reach out to? So we have like 1 day, 3 day, 5 day, that sort of a thing. Who do you need to escalate this to? And, you know, I was surprised because typically for a quiz, now that we've been using the app for a while, we have seen, you know, engagements around 40-50%. For this, we saw like 80-90% engagement. And it was fun. And I could not imagine that, you know, talking questions around policies would, you know, enjoy, make people engage.
Absolutely. No, people love to be, you know, there's this thing called wanting to be a part of the society or wanting to be a part of a community, the belongingness.
Tribe. Yeah.
So that belongingness is something that is the only thing that drives engagement. So the more you make people feel you belong here, this is your place, this is, you know, this is your identity, part of your identity. That is how you can engage people. So you give them any sense of belongingness, they will definitely be much more engaged. So what you're telling me about, you know, people wanting to take a part in a quiz, even if it's about policies, they would love to do it. They would love to show up, I know this, I belong here, this is my place. So they would definitely be more engaged. I mean, that is one, you know, beautiful idea, beautiful thing. And you're making me much more interested in, you know, talking to you more about these things later on, yes.
Sure. What overall, not just from an engagement perspective or a performance appraisal perspective, what are some of the bigger trends that you're seeing now? In the world of work, in the world of, you know, HR, management.
So, yeah, definitely. So, you know, there are some things which are very evident and which are very out there. Mm-hmm. One is the use of video CVs. Correct. So now no more is the CV on a Word document or a PDF document which you just read. They're just words. Probably more than 90% of time copied from some other words from somewhere.
Correct.
Now a video CV is the in thing which makes the impact.
Correct.
Because you get to know the person, and really the person, even if he's prepared and then made the video CV, it shows the effort that he's put in.
Exactly.
You need to understand the person, and it has much more, much better impact and retention value.
Correct.
In terms of someone who's, you know, actually looking at the CV. So I think that's an amazing thing. Video CVs is definitely the way to go. And the bots, the HR bots for all the transactional work, which HR used to hate doing earlier.
Correct.
So definitely the community of HR is very, very happy with the bots coming in. Telling everyone about their leaves was like the most boring work we had to do. Now we don't have to do. It's already there.
Which doesn't make sense, right? Humans are not supposed to be doing this sort of work. They're supposed to work on the creative side of things rather than, you know.
Yes, absolutely. And now, thanks to technology.
Exactly.
We can all be digitized, and we are extremely thankful to technology for doing it. To all those guys who have worked with me also in the past, I would take this opportunity and thank them to having had worked with me to design all these HR digitized processes.
Correct.
So it was definitely amazing. It's definitely good. This one thing which is coming up, I don't know a lot of firms have adopted, but they are moving towards it, is the use of AI and machine learning in recruitment.
Correct.
So using a particular program or process to look for the profiles which are relevant for a particular role through all the available channels on the net.
Correct.
Doing a sweep and giving us the relevant profiles, and then the recruiter calls, you know, only those matching ones, where you probably could have missed a lot of candidates to actually match job. AI and ML is making it extremely easy, making the right fit.
Yeah.
So that I don't think a lot of companies have yet adopted. It is not it's not widely used yet, but I think that's going to come pretty soon, sooner than maybe, you know, than we expect. But yes, it's going to be there. It's going to be the future of recruitment.
Sure. Yeah, this makes sense. You know, interestingly, you spoke about video CVs. I saw a very, very interesting, someone had, you know, there was a head of content opening at some company. I forgot the name of the company. And this person has now been hired for that role. And the CEO shared how she applied for it. And it was like a 1 minute Instagram Reels, TikTok style video where she explained all her. I'll share it with you after this call. But it was very, very nicely done. And yeah, that definitely makes sense. You know, whatever helps you stand out from the pack, right? And that seems like such a, I mean, you don't have to do an Instagram Reels or a TikTok style because that might take a little more effort, creativity. But, you know, whatever helps you stand out, yeah, that definitely makes sense. And I think we have also been doing so for, not for our other roles. And now that you have spoken about it, maybe we should do that there as well. But for our internship, the first step is, you know, send us a 1 minute video of you talking about why you should be, you know, considered for this internship.
Amazing.
And that has, of course, helped us, you know, filter down candidates because communication is a very, very important part of, at least now it has taken that much more importance because we are working remotely. So communication is like super, super important, paramount importance. That helps us also filter a lot more.
See, everyone who's hiring for their own business. So you've started a business by putting in a lot of effort from your end. You want to take it in the same direction that you actually initially planned to. You want anyone who joins to share that direction with you.
Correct.
And to get that sense that connect has to be there. Mm. And the connect can be instantly built if you share your first introduction in form of a video.
Yeah.
I mean, it's an instant impact.
Totally
it's
agree there.
Definitely good. Definitely the best idea, I think, that there is.
Yeah. Great. Nidhi, I think we have discussed a lot of things.
Yes.
But we will have to conclude this now. Before, you know, we conclude this, which platform is the best, you know, if someone listening to this podcast wants to connect with you, which is the best platform to do that? And, you know, if you can tell us some of your sources of where do you go to for, you know, information or anything to do with people management, performance management, any aspect of, you know, HR, what are your go-to resources? Like, is there a blog, newsletter, books, any of that sort of stuff?
Okay, so I am pretty much active on LinkedIn. Okay. Anyone sending me any message on LinkedIn is something that I see immediately.
Nice.
I have built a really good network and connects with people on LinkedIn. I am looking at obviously increasing it much more than it is right now. But I think LinkedIn has helped me a lot in terms of even articles or people's thought or, you know, whenever if I'm looking even for hiring people, I connect onto LinkedIn. I think that's a very good platform that has helped me definitely personally. But when you're talking about learning for self, I am doing a lot of courses from different institutes, from XLRI, from TIS. I have been doing, I have still continuing to do. And it is always a good idea to keeping oneself upskilled. And I think learning is something that can just not stop. There is so much more that you can do. There's so much more you can acquire in terms of knowledge and skills. And I think you have to continue doing it. And luckily, there is so much available now to do, even sitting in the comfort of your home. I think everyone should, you know, just adopt that as much as possible. SHRM, please do join. It's an amazing place to connect with a lot of people and to get a lot of information.
Correct.
You get so much more to know. And of course, yeah, I would like to probably highlight this one place, HRCI. I've been a member of HRCI. I keep getting their messages. I keep getting a lot of reading material. So anyone who is interested to keeping their knowledge of the current going ons in the market, having the knowledge of the different kind of researches done by different companies, white papers which are shared, projects which are shared. So if you like to keep up with the know-hows of what's happening right now, HRCI is a good place to start with.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah, keep learning, keep upskilling. On that note, thanks a lot, Nidhi, for taking out time to come on the Shape of Work podcast.
My pleasure, absolutely.
Yeah, thanks again.
Thank you.